Do you know what this is?
It's from a video game, obviously.
Wait till the music kicks in.
Oh. Burger time.
Yes.
Is it? Yeah.
You know why, Bill?
Today is National Hamburger Day.
It is.
Happy National Hamburger Day, Wendy, to you and yours.
Thank you so very much. We are going to talk to... all right, this is getting annoying. Unless I'm playing it, I don't want to just listen to it.
Right.
We're going to talk about hamburgers. I have to say the most perfect food in the world to me, honestly, would probably be a hamburger.
Yeah.
And what better way to celebrate National Hamburger Day today than talk to a man who's written Hamburger Dreams, How Classic Crime-Solving Techniques Helped Crack the Case of America's Greatest Culinary Mystery. Christopher Carosa's on the line. Christopher, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Happy National Hamburger Day to you both.
How do you celebrate it, Christopher? What do you do special on this day?
Well, today I am talking to folks like you all over the country, answering questions about burgers, and yesterday was the day that I actually had my hamburger.
On Hamburger Day Eve?
Hamburger Day Eve, yeah. We even open our gifts sometimes.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Chris, I got to know, how did the hamburger start? What is the origin of what we know as the hamburger today?
Well, there's several competing stories, and I talk about them in my book. They're all different times, different places. It's really interesting. There's no smoking gun. We don't know for sure exactly when or where it started because, unfortunately, 100 or more years ago, they didn't have cell phones where people were clicking and videotaping everything 24/7 and then posting them on social media so that you knew it happened when it happened. So, no, we have these stories, and these stories were not told immediately after they occurred. They were told decades, sometimes 50 years after they occurred. So it's very difficult to kind of pinpoint exactly when it happened. And that's kind of what I had to do in this book. I had to take the facts and treat it almost like, you know, one of those TV crime drama.
Ah,
like SVU. People.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you've noticed this, Christopher. You're an expert. There is no ham in a hamburger. Why is it named that if there isn't any ham there?
Well, there are, again, different types of stories that have to do with that. But what I can tell you is that it's not named after Hamburg, Germany.
It isn't?
No, that's what a lot of people thought. And McDonald's actually had a hand in exposing this in the mid-1960s. They sent one of their vice presidents to Hamburg, Germany on a lark. It was a PR lark. And they gave him some sort of plaque that says, hey, thank you for inventing the hamburger. And the mayor looked at him and said, you know, what are you talking about? We didn't do this. And that story got picked up, that denial got picked up nationwide by all these newspapers. Maybe it was on the Associated Press or something like that. But it was, it got McDonald's a lot of news, a lot of, you know, a lot of good PR.
Yeah.
By the way, The Founder is such a good movie with Michael Keaton playing Ray Kroc. It's really fascinating to me. I didn't know a lot of that stuff. There are different burgers to go around. I like a good McDouble every once in a while. I love a Culver's. But I got to know, what's the deal now with the fried egg on a burger that does not belong?
I was in Syracuse, New York a couple weeks ago judging the best burger in New York contest. And one of them did have a fried egg on it. Actually, I didn't think I like it, but it actually tasted pretty good.
I love fried eggs. I love burgers. I don't like them together. Do you know where that started, or is that for the second volume of this book?
That's for, like, volume 23. That's a pretty new one. In the early days, hamburgers were pretty much naked. I mean, they might have served them with an onion or things like that. The inside, it's like one of the stories involves the Menchus brothers out of Akron, Ohio, who were known for pork sausage. They ran out of pork sausage. The butcher refused to butcher a pig for them because it was too hot out. He gave them ground beef instead. They couldn't cook it thoroughly all the way through just because the technology was pretty bad back then. So they put coffee beans in the middle so they could steam cook the middle.
Yeah.
But that tasted lousy.
Yeah.
So they put brown sugar and some other ingredients in there, and they got a good mix that tasted really good, and it became very popular. But there's another story out of New Haven where they invented the hamburger there, but they never put ketchup on it. And in fact, Louis Lassen, the person involved with that, said if it's ketchup, you put ketchup on it, then it's not a hamburger.
Oh.
I like all the stuff on it. Ketchup, tomatoes, lettuce, mayo, mustard, pickles, onion. Eric Rung is in our newsroom, and he has a hamburger question for you on this National Hamburger Day.
I do. So I used to work in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. They have a burger known as the Juicy Lucy. Are you aware of the Juicy Lucy?
I have heard of the Juicy Lucy, yes.
Okay, so, well, for people that have not heard of the Juicy Lucy, basically it's two hamburger patties, and in between, they melt a cube of cheese. It's the most delicious thing I've ever had in my entire life. I don't understand why it's not really caught on anywhere else.
Bob, that's a good question. You know, the whole idea of a cheeseburger, now, here's the weird thing, is that September 18th is National Cheeseburger Day.
I like that better. I'm going to celebrate harder that day.
And supposedly the cheeseburger was invented in Southern California somewhere. There's two competing stories for that. I just mention it casually in the book. But what I do mention is this. In my research, I found an 1894 newspaper article from the Chicago Tribune, I think, which talks about a food vendor who's cooking hamburgers, you know, on the street, because that's how they would sell them, and he would put cheese on them. So they didn't call them cheeseburgers there, but it was a hamburger sandwich with cheese on it.
So, Chris, how much time elapsed, though, between creating a hamburger and a cheeseburger? Was there a long chasm of time between those two?
Depending on which story you think is true, the earliest story for the invention of the hamburger was 1885, and this article came out in 1894, so that's 9 years. My guess is that as the hamburgers spread regionally, you probably had more of a regional influence. And they spread pretty quickly because just as I was talking about that food vendor in Chicago, there's another great long story from the same year in San Francisco that tells all about this exploits of this food vendor, street vendor, who's serving hamburgers at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
That's when you want them.
Yeah, I, you know, who knows?
White Castle
knows.
Get
the munchies or something.
Christopher Carosa's on the line with us. Chris has written a book, Hamburger Dreams, How Classic Crime-Solving Techniques Helped Crack the Case of America's Greatest Culinary Mystery, because as he's told us, there are varying stories as to who brought us the hamburger. You can go to hamburgerdreams.com. I think it is the perfect food. I can get burned out on pizza. It takes a while, but a hamburger, I honestly could have a hamburger every day of my life.
I think a lot of people would agree with you. Of course, a lot of people could have pizza every day of their lives, too.
Sure.
And I did write a book about pizza, but
of course you
wait
did.
Till pizza day. We don't bring that up now.
How did the fast food industry, how did McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and White Castle and on and on and on, how did they change our perception of hamburgers? Did it at all?
Yeah, they did. You know, and that's an interesting story in of itself. There's been a lot of other books that have talked about the fast food industry, but I couldn't ignore it in this book. And so I plot through that whole life cycle very quickly, starting with White Castle, you know, all the way through McDonald's, Wendy's, and the other popular names that you've got. Really, I think that, well, here's one thing you've got to kind of remember. You know, why did the hamburger come about in the first place? And it came about because America was entertaining themselves with more leisure-type activities following the Civil War. More fairs, more carnivals, baseball was coming up, and they needed a place to eat while they were participating in these events, and they didn't need a sit-down place. They needed a place, a way to eat with their hands, holding a sandwich as they were walking around. So that really helped, you know, spawn the hamburger, among other types of sandwiches. Then, with the car, people started moving around and wanted to go in and out quick. Oh, no pun intended there. And order their own burgers that way. And I mentioned in the book, I think I called the hamburger the second greatest invention of all time, the first being the wheel. So when you put them both together, then you have this fast food type invention that that we have today.
Do you think the hamburger was the first food item eaten in a car while driving? Because I bet it was.
Oh, you know, that's a pretty good estimate. You know, I'm recalling something else. I don't know if I mentioned this in the book, and there's no way to prove what they were serving. But I went to Pompeii once. You know, Pompeii, the place that got wiped out by the volcano.
Yeah.
They told me that there were these fast food restaurants on the streets of Pompeii, and they showed us one. I don't know what they serve, probably not hamburgers, But this idea of this quick food, you know, goes back a long time in history.
Is it considered, like, by the rest of the world, is it an American treat to them, or do they just say, oh, it's part of our landscape, too?
Oh, the hamburger?
Yeah.
You know, so one of the things that I did, not only did I research original newspaper articles, but I also looked at the advertising. And I was able to find some menus on the advertising sheets. And one of the menus I found was from the American restaurant in Manila, in the Philippines. And in that restaurant, they had a hamburger sandwich listed. This is in, I think, 1898.
Wow.
So it was, by that time it had crossed the international boundaries. In fact, the international dateline, I think. And it had begun sprouting up elsewhere.
Do you like it fried or grilled, or is there a place for both in your life?
I could have it either way. I mean, I personally like to grill it on my own grill in the backyard and put my own special little Italian spices in it, chopped onions, things like that. I have my own way of doing it, but everybody else has their own way, too.
I'm telling you right now, I would bet 9 out of 10 people listening right now are going to pick up a hamburger for dinner tonight.
Sure.
Because that's all I can think of right now.
Well, that's good. Have them pick up the book, too.
All right, and where do we get it?
You can get the book anywhere, bookstores, Amazon, wherever you buy books. Look up the book, Hamburger Dreams, my name, Chris Carosa. If they don't have it in stock, they'll order it for you. You know, these book people, they're very accommodating.
Chris, I'm curious. The other day we were talking about meat substitutes, your plant-based hamburger-type foods. Are you a proponent of those? Do they taste almost the same to you or not?
I have not had one of those because I prefer the original.
Yeah.
But I have heard there are some people who, believe it or not, who are allergic to beef. I mean, there's a, you know, it's not a silly thing. It's actually a pretty serious thing.
Sure.
And they have invented non-beef based burgers. So these are vegetable type or vegetarian type burgers that actually taste and feel like beef.
We've had them. The Beyond Burger was actually good. I'm telling
you. That's right.
And I told Bill the other day on the way home, I'm like, I feel like I'm going to stop at home or stop at the store and pick up some Beyond Burgers and make them on the grill. And he goes, okay. And I said, although if I'm getting burgers, why wouldn't I just get the real thing? And that's what I opted to do. So they're delicious, but, you know, given the choice, I think I'd rather have a beef burger.
Hmm.
What are some of the other meats that burgers are made out of? Does it have to be ground beef?
Traditionally, yeah, it's ground beef, although they do mix it up a bit depending on where you're at and what the local traditions are. Again, what I found out when I was in Syracuse, they have this tradition of putting a second meat on top of the burger. So it could be like a brisket. That was one of the burgers that we had. I don't know if you're familiar with a beef on weck, which is a buffalo sandwich, Buffalo, New York sandwich. They made a hamburger that was like a hamburger beef on weck. So it had the roast beef on top and the horseradish and the Kimmelwick roll. It was very good. And so they have all these kinds of experiments. But traditionally, the way the hamburgers are that I talk about in the book, they're regular beef hamburgers.
God, that's all I can think about right now. And I don't think you should mix your meat, if you want to know the truth. Bacon can mix with anything pretty much, but it seems weird having roast beef on the top of a burger.
Yeah.
That seems kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want weird, go to the internet. Everybody's, you know, celebrating Hamburger Day by posting pictures of these wild burgers with everything on them. I mean, they're two stories high. I mean, how do you get your mouth around these things?
That's a good question. Well, good luck with the book. Happy National Hamburger Day today. Christopher Carosa. Chris Carosa, you can follow him. He's on Twitter or go to hamburgerdreams.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill and Wendy.
Thank Christopher. Have a great day. It's Christmas for him. This is the biggest day of the year for him.
I can imagine. Although, has he written a cheeseburger day book? Because he could talk about that on September 18th.
Yeah. All right, a break and then more show. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN.